Look at his young children. I just love it when they say, I want to know your heart. Father, that's our desire. To know your heart, not just what's in your hand, but what's in your heart. Your desire for us. Your thoughts toward us are good, not evil. To give us our expected end, to know your heart. Father, we take this time to open up the scriptures, to allow you to share your heart to us. The love letter you had written over the years called the Bible. A commitment, agreement with us, your people. Demonstrating your commitment to love us, to provide for us, to help us. Lest we forget. Thank you. So we open up this time to you, Lord. Speak, Lord, and we will listen. Speak, Lord, and we will follow your instructions. We love you. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. If you would, open your Bible to the book of Job, chapter 1. And we're going to continue our teaching. We've been talking about why bad things happen to good people. Say, why bad things happen to good people. You know, that can be a sore spot for many of us because we don't have all the answers. And the reality is we won't have all the answers that we may want to ask for ourselves or of God. The Bible says that the secret things belong to the Lord. But those things that are revealed, and some things much is revealed, but those things that are revealed are given unto the children of men. That's us. So there's always going to be something that we may not have a direct, specific answer for. But God is still good. And what he has revealed to us is sufficient for us to move forward in life. And it really comes down to trusting him.
Amen.
To really, and I want to encourage you, because that's a word that we may not fully appreciate totally, but trust just because he's God.
Yes.
And you trust that he says, I have you, he has your best interest at heart. Just trust him. In spite of what you may have experienced, that all things work together for your good.
Amen.
To them that love God, you love God. That even the bad stuff, even the setbacks, just trust him. Say trust him.
Trust him.
So this teaching on Job is about really trusting God and learning his mind, his heart, the children sung about, so we can make proper decisions and proper adjustments where appropriate in our lives. Because reality is, too often or sometimes, bad things happen to good people. Here in the first verse of Job chapter 1, it says, there once was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. Notice not Oz, but Uz. He was blameless. Say blameless.
Blameless.
There's nothing that you could accuse him of. Okay? A man of complete integrity, good reputation. Meaning integrity, one, meaning that the way he acted and the way he was in the marketplace, the way he is at home, the way he is at church, the same person, integrity. Say integrity.
Integrity.
You don't say one thing but do another because your integrity. You walk in integrity. He was that way. And then it says he feared God and stayed away from evil. If he was alive today, he'll be considered a good Christian man. And so here's Job. And it's clear that he's a good person. In fact, he's probably a little beyond just being a good. I mean, this kind of description, he's blameless. Now, few of us walk around and folk are still blaming stuff at you, right? I'm going to side over here. They're so perfect over there. But few of us walk around and somebody may be blaming you for something, right? Yeah. He's blameless. And then he's walking in integrity. And then he says he feared God and stayed away from evil. Even talking evil, doing evil. So this is the kind of person that had tragedy in his life. And sometimes we think that God is the one that's kind of just throwing stuff in our lives, but that's not the case. We're going to see it more clearly. So the book of Job explains how bad things can happen to good people and how God reveals his heart to recover his people out of trouble. That's the hope, because trouble will come. It may come in different ways, but We need to look to God to get us out of trouble. Say, out of trouble.
Out of trouble.
Now, it was Satan that went forth to kill Job's children and afflict his body with sickness. When you read the book of Job, you find out that things happen. First of all, his children were killed, and then his body got afflicted. Satan did that as well. It says here in Job chapter 1, verse 6, and Satan came also among them. Notice who came?
Satan.
Satan. That particular verse, read it further in context. Satan went before God, and basically he asked permission of God to attack Job. And God says, well, all right, but you don't kill him. Now you may say, why would God do that? Well, again, you have to understand the scriptures further, even in the New Testament. The Bible says, give the devil no place. Notice, we are admonished, and we're going to read it in a moment. We are admonished, don't give the devil place. The Bible does not say, I won't give the devil place in your life. He tells us we should not give him place, which means we give him place.
That's right.
If the devil has a place in our life, we gave it to him.
Amen.
You know, when I grew up and when I was a small boy, we had screens on our front doors, okay? We didn't have no air conditioners. We had a screen. And so you open it up, open the door and put a screen on, and air comes in. Hopefully it was kind of cool breeze, okay? But every now and then, especially during the summertime, you got a little watermelon in the back, you know, and got some fruit and so forth, and you open the door, and about five flies come in. Now, you know, these flies about to get on your food, you're shooing them away and all that. You kind of, you know, fly, get out of here. Now, guess what? The flies got in, and who let them in? You did. Now, you didn't mean to let them in, but they got in anyway. Rather than get, you know, say, oh, the flies, oh, get them out, get them out, get them out. Okay? Sometimes we give the devil place.
Yes.
Unintentionally. Sometimes unknowingly. But he has a place, and we realize it's him. Get him out. Say, get him out.
Get him out.
But don't blame God.
Amen.
And that's what Job did. He didn't know. See, he didn't have the benefit of the New Testament. He didn't have the benefit, really, of all the other writers, like David, the psalmist. This is the oldest book in the Bible. Job. But he's given insight. What's so powerful about it gives insight on the heart of God.
Yeah.
And also how evil Satan is.
Yeah.
And also how sometimes he can get in. But the good news at the end, we go and read on further, he gets out. Say, he gets out.
He gets out.
We read here Job 1 verse 12. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Notice who went forth?
Satan.
Yes, God allowed it. But guess what? God allows all things to happen today in this world. The people who may have not woken up today, this morning, they died in their sleep and did not know Jesus Christ, they went to hell without Christ.
Yeah.
God allowed it. It's not good. They're forever separated from God. God allowed it. He didn't cause it, though.
That's right.
So you need to understand that. Just because God allowed it means that he commissioned it.
That's right.
When we give place, the enemy takes advantage of our ignorance. We don't know. Some of it is not ignorance of what God says in his word. But some of us are just ignorance of things in life.
Yes. Amen.
If a person didn't value education, for example, they didn't really take, you know, even though they just didn't like school and so forth, and now they don't do well in their life, they don't have a good job, they don't get paid more money. Well, they contributed to that, not doing the homework.
Right.
Are you following me?
Yes.
They contributed to that. They didn't, you know, they didn't get it. If they really understood it, they would have been more aggressive about it.
Yeah.
Are you following me?
Yeah.
Now they get older, now they're 35 and trying to manage a family and working at McDonald's all the time and three or four or five jobs. Now they get it.
Mm-hmm.
But they did it in ignorance, not applying themselves. Are you following me?
Yeah.
So I share this to say that too often it's quick to blame God. I want to encourage you, even when you're doing the good things, sometimes things we don't know hurt us.
Yeah.
But the beautiful part about it, God is merciful.
Yes,
if you go to him, he'll help you navigate in life and overcome. Say overcome.
Overcome.
It's when we get bitter, get upset at God or the world, and we just stop believing God altogether, and guess what? He can't help us.
Amen.
The very one that can help us the most is God. And if we get mad at God, we are hopeless.
Amen.
And another one is Job 2, verse 7. It says here, so Satan left the Lord's presence and struck Job with terrible boils and from head to toe, head to foot. So here, first he killed his children. Job had 10 children, 7 boys and 3 girls. Each of the boys had a house and they partied. And we're going to see how Job opened the door, even unknowingly, but he opened the door. He learned later how the door got open, but we're going to see some insight about Job. And then after the children got killed, then he got sick. And that's what took him over the edge, and he just really, really had a tough time. But notice the verse I referenced earlier. It's Ephesians 4:27. It says, nor give place to the devil. Say, nor give place to the devil.
Nor give place to the devil.
Say, don't give place to the devil.
Don't give place to the devil.
For example, another one. The Bible tells us, be angry. It's okay to be angry, but sin not. And don't let the sun go down on your wrath or your anger.
Right.
Well, if you're going to be angry for a few, 4 or 5 days, a few weeks, then you've sinned and you've given place to who?
The devil. That's right.
And guess what? When you're angry and spending the night over, night, it's going into your heart, into your spirit.
Yeah.
It's marinating.
Yeah.
So our wise God advises us, is you really cross the line. And so when you cross the line like that, even though we may think we have a legitimate reason to be angry. I get it. God gets it. But God is smart. I got a better way for you.
That's right.
I got a better way for you.
Amen.
And when you do that, you give place to the enemy.
Yes.
To make it worse. So we can give it place. And that's why reading the Bible, finding out about our life and how we should live our life, informs us how not to give a double place. I can't teach all you need to know on Sunday morning.
Amen.
I just can't. Don't have time. You don't come often enough. Okay? No. I mean, you got to be here every day. And even every day won't be enough. Are you following me? So I want to share that with you because it's sometimes lack of knowing. And that's what Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Notice not the devil's people, not the evil people. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Look at Job chapter 1, verse 4. We'll read the account when his children got killed. Job's sons would take turns preparing feasts in their homes, and they would also invite their 3 sisters to celebrate with them. They call it a feast, but they really party. Okay, it wasn't just like a little, you know, no, they party hard. Okay, verse 5. When these celebrations ended, sometimes after several days, Job would purify his children. He would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each of them. Say each of them.
Each of them.
For Job said, say Job said.
Job said.
And what you say is huge. Why? Because what you say is an expression of your faith. Or expression of your fear. How you talk is always an expression of your faith. Faith in what you want or faith in what you don't want.
Amen.
What we say is huge. Proverbs tell us death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Amen.
It was just last week, I'm watching the news, and I happened to see this tragic situation. A young boy, really a teenager, was killed by the police. What I gathered from watching the program briefly was that it was an unfortunate situation. It shouldn't have happened and that kind of thing. He really was kind of like in the wrong place at the wrong time kind of place. I don't think it was anything. I don't think he really broke the law, but he got killed. His mom was so upset. She's crying, understandably so. But then she said something. She said, my son, I would try to help my son with his homework, and he would always tell me he wouldn't do his homework. I said, do your homework. He said, why? I'm going to be killed by the police anyway. And your words don't matter. God says death and life are in the power of the tongue. No, she said it on TV. She's crying. But I'm thinking about it, she don't even know. She don't even get it. Yeah, she repeated what he said, but she don't know my son was prophesying his own death. You wonder why sometimes bad things happen to good people. They get into a place, they're frustrated, but then they start thinking about it and talking about it, and it becomes a strong fear, and it literally gives place to the enemy. I've shared this story before. I haven't said it in a long time, but it's a When we were at the high school, there was a family that came to our church, a lady and her son and daughter, and they were new members of our church. And after about maybe 4 or 5 months or so, what happened was that the daughter came to my office, and I realized she was pregnant. And she got kicked out of her house, and she couldn't go back home. Her dad said, "You can't come back here." And so she's coming to the office for help. I'm willing to help you, but, I mean, you're like 16 years old, sister. Come on, man. When your mom and dad, you're pregnant, what did you do, okay? I'm wondering. I'm thinking that because most families don't do stuff like that. Okay, so I'm willing to help. I want to understand. Say understand. So I'm going to talk to your mom and dad. I'm going to go by to the house, call the house. I talked to the husband and her father. He said, "No problem. Come by, Pastor Ed, and we'll talk." I walked in. "Come on in, Rev. Come on in, Reverend. Have a seat." If I told her once, Reverend, I told her 1,000 times. You know, we came from Panama, and we're doing good and have an opportunity here in America, and don't get pregnant. Don't get pregnant. If I told her once, I told her 1,000 times. Go ahead and talk to her, Reverend. Go ahead, go ahead. And after he finished his little rant, I looked at him and said, "I know the problem." "Oh, thank you. Thank you, Rev. Come on. Go get it. Go ahead." I said, "It's you." He looked at me, and I began to take him from Job chapter 1. To the end of the book and let him that the thing you greatly feared, you talked about the most, you didn't want it to happen, but all she heard was get pregnant, and the devil heard get pregnant. You don't brought her your cute boy by in her classroom talking to her. You wonder why he did that. Wonder why he paid so much attention to her to get her pregnant. Verse 5, when these celebrations ended, sometimes after several days, Job would purify his children. He would get up early in the morning and offer burnt offerings for each of them. For Job said to himself, perhaps, just in case you get pregnant. Just in case I lose my house. Just in case my wife walks out on me. I got some on the side. I got money on the side, too, because, you know, he may walk out on me, and I'm gonna have some money, so I'm not going to tell him about the money. Just in case. Yeah, I'm going someplace with that, brother. Why you keep stuff secret just in case? What are you afraid of? See, as opposed to what you're believing for, what you're investing in to make it better. God is the God of the light. He's not the God of the dark. But fear operates in darkness. Fear operates in secrets. We got to examine what's really going on. And then we wonder why things happen. We give them what? Place. Perhaps my children have sinned and have cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular practice. In the King James Version, it says, Job did continually. Now, if Job did it continually, now, Job gave him the house. You know, he was rich. And so he gave his 7 sons the house. And he knew how they, I mean, why would he bother doing this continually if he wasn't aware of how they were acting in those houses? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a kind of, I mean, clearly it wasn't like, you know, just kind of like a little crackers and cheese. No. It was some heavy stuff going on. Are you following me? And it was kind of stuff he knew, being a godly man, that's ungodly. I need to sacrifice. I need to pray that they won't mess up. And just in case God may forgive them. Mm-hmm. Job chapter 1, verse 18. And this is when the account of when they got killed. While he was still, verse 18, while he was still speaking, one of his servants came to talk to him, give him the news. Another also came, another servant, and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house." Verse 19. "And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped." to tell you. All 10. Say all 10.
All 10.
Tragic. It's one thing to have one child, maybe two, but all of them? Mm-hmm. Nothing but the devil.
Amen.
Evil. Yes. We got to deal with evil as it is, you all.
Yeah.
We can't play with it.
Yeah.
We can't play with it.
Yeah.
So we don't have to be afraid of it. Learn who you are. You have the word. You have power. But you have to use it.
Amen.
How you talk and how you pray. Sometimes our prayers are more fear, full of fear than full of faith.
All right. Amen.
I hope he doesn't. Hope, you know what? No. I, for example, rather than be afraid that your spouse may leave you and, you know, get divorced and so forth and focus on that, focus on, I thank you, Father. I love my wife as Christ. Love the church. We submit one to another in the fear of God.
Yes.
I'm more kind and more affectionate. We're growing closer towards you and closer to one another. And while you're saying that, you got challenges in your relationship. But as you say it, believing what God says, God, now the Holy Spirit moves on that word you're praying over your spouse.
Yes.
And starts talking to her or him.
Yes.
And dealing with them. And then send somebody by their desk that loves God. You know, the new lady that got promoted and now sitting next to her. Now she's talking about Jesus and talking about how her husband and her got back together, strengthened their relationship.
Yeah.
Now your wife want to know, how you do that? How did that happen? That's not by accident. Your prayers of what you want, that God wants in your life, brought it to pass. As opposed to what you don't want. See, God don't give you what you don't want. Guess who gives you that? Who?
The devil.
The devil. God gives you what you need, what he wants for you,
yeah,
and what you want. That's faith. Job began to curse the day he was born and blame God. Say, blame God.
Blame God.
For what he was experiencing. And I get it. God gets it. That's why he gave, after about the third chapter of Job, it's a bunch of complaining between Job's friends and himself. Because they began to blame him. Maybe because, you know, you must have had a woman on the side or something, because this kind of bad stuff happened. This stuff don't happen to people unless they did something bad. And Bible has said he was a good guy,
yeah,
right?
Right?
But not knowing opens the door big time.
Amen.
Secondly, he made it worse by complaining.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, so God gave him a little space to kind of get it all out of his system. And then we're going to read in a moment, God straightened him out and helped him get it right on the right track. And it was powerful. It was a good thing. Say a good thing.
A good thing.
But it says here in Job chapter 3 and verse 1, after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. He cursed it. Now, to do that, think about God. It's like, God, you made a mistake in bringing me into the earth. I understand the frustration. God gets it. But it's not right. It's not going to help him. He goes on further, verse 2. And Job spoke and said, verse 3, may the day perish on which I was born. And the night in which it was said, a male child is conceived. Now, normally people are excited for a boy or for a girl. No, he said, we need to curse that day. That's all in God's face. Why would a person do that if they didn't think that God was a problem? Verse 10, because I did not shut up the doors. Because it did not shut up the doors of my mother's womb. He's still complaining about the day he was born. Nor hide sorrow from my eyes, did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? Bitterness. Or why was I not hidden like a stillborn child, like infants who never see light? Yeah, he's gotten bitter. But he's bitter at the wrong person. For the thing, now this is the verse I talk a lot about, which I want you to get. See, this is how he gave place. For the thing, verse 25, I greatly fear. Say, I greatly fear.
I greatly
say it again.
Fear.
It wasn't just like a fleeting thought. He did continually. He did continually. It may be my sons may have cursed God. He did continually, like that. Father, If I told her once, I told her 1,000 times, don't get pregnant, don't get pregnant. He don't want to get pregnant. Guess what happened? She got pregnant. Why? That's all he talked about. Never told her she was a virtuous woman of God. Never told her that she's a woman of God, virtuous, holy. Never told her that. Want to minister to you. Now, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I said some things that wasn't appropriate, and you know, I got what I got, you know, okay. But I learned from it. And I'm deliberate and I'm determined to not let that happen again.
Amen.
That's what I want to encourage you. Don't be guilty. Don't beat yourself up. I ain't beating you up. I'm saying, you know what? Life happens. And guess what? Let it happen good, though.
Amen.
And you got something to do with it.
That's right.
A whole lot. Say a whole lot. The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded. Now, dreaded is deeper fear. What I dreaded has happened to me. Now, this comes down to the issue which I'm about to share with you and how God shared with Job that he had to take responsibility. You know, again, Job being the oldest book in the Bible, so he didn't have the benefit of any other scriptures at all. He just like, this is it. So he didn't know that God was good. He didn't know that God gave him power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy. He didn't know all that. And so he's kind of operating based on what he knows. So God's working with him, but also God's correcting him. And Job entered a deep place of bitterness, depression, and hopelessness when his friends blamed him for his own trouble. It got worse when his friends came in and began to blame him. But when God finally spoke, I love it, he was stern, but liberating. Say liberating. By telling Job that his deliverance and protection was in his own hands all along. Look at Job chapter 40. I love this. When I began to see what happened, normally at funerals, you hear a preacher talk about, reference Job, for example, that, you know, he talk about, though he slay me, speaking of God, he's slaying me, he's messing my life up, I was trusting. Well, that I would trust him is nice, but it wasn't true that God was slaying him. God allowed the devil to slay him. Why? Because his mouth opened the door. Verse, chapter 40 of Job, verse 1. Finally, after all this, God speaks up. I love it. And when I read this, I said, you know what? Thank you, Lord. You're so wonderful. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Who rebukes God? Let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, finally Job said, okay, God, I get it. Verse 4. Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over what? My mouth. Finally, he got it. My mouth was getting me in trouble. And guess what? That's what most of us are. What? Mouth gets us in trouble. I hate you. Now, you feel the way, but don't say it.
Amen.
I wish I never met you. I know you feel the way, but don't say it. Why? Death and life, death of relationships, are in the power of the tongue. Had a guy in our church. He ended up dying too young, by the way. He was married for a while with his wife. And his wife would call me every now and then, could have marital problems, and cry, Pastor, 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 oh, my husband. He wrote these nasty notes. When I get home, I want you gone. Me and my son, I want you out of my life. Leave us here, you go. He didn't want to leave her at the house. He said, just you go, and we stay at the house, and my son, you gone. That must have happened about 4 times. My heart's going out to her counseling, but, you know, he just didn't want his wife. And one day when he came home, he's about to turn 50, and because he told me later, and he came to an empty house, and he ran to my office. No appointment. Pastor, I got to talk to you now. I got to talk to you now. And his issue was not about so much of his wife. His issue was, I'm about to turn 50, and I'm going to be by myself. It was deep. Well, his marriage didn't last. She did exactly what he wanted to do. I don't want you. Get out of my life. In fact, I recall one of the marriage counseling, he told her in front of me, I didn't really want to marry you anyway. So now after she leaves, now think about it, now he's had panic attacks. God. And he dies young. He probably died about 10 years later. Going to this church, regularly involved, but not wiped in his mouth. In his heart. And we wonder why things happen to good people. They're nice. They're friendly. Open the door for you. Don't hurt people. Except some people. Verse 5. Once I have spoken. This is Job talking. But I will not answer. Yes, twice. This is it. This is last time, God. But I will proceed no further. Verse 8. And then God's talking. This is powerful. Would you indeed annul my judgment? You know what annulment is? When you get married, then you have an annulment. It's over as if it never happened before. He's saying, what I've said, my judgments, you want to make it as if it didn't happen? Would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me? This is God talking. That you may be justified? See, too often when things happen, we don't think about, I contributed to that. Think about the people or them and, you know, government and don't look at our life and how could I have done better or turn it around. So finally God is saying, wait a minute. Are you condemning me, the great Almighty, so you can look good? You can be justified? Verse 12, look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Say, tread down the wicked. Say it again. Now say it when hitting your foot on the ground. Stop stomping your foot. Tread down the wicked. When I read that, my mind immediately went to Luke 10:19. When Jesus said to us, behold, I give unto you power or authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. How do you do that? Do your words. Do your prayers. You walk on him by saying scripture like, no weapon formed against me, my wife Vanessa, my son Joshua, my son Edward, my son Aaron, my daughter named Sophia, my nephew Devon Lindsay, my God done a miracle, all my daughter-in-law Marcia, all my grandchildren, by name. No weapon. I'm treading down the wicked, keeping him in his place.
That's right.
Through my prayers. Through what I say about them.
Amen.
With long life will you satisfy me, Lord. That's scripture. That's God's promise. With long life will you satisfy me? That's how I pray. That's how I believe. That's how I talk. I'm not dying on this airplane today. With turbulence. I'm not dying today. Got a work to do. It's not just positive thinking, you all. I'm agreeing with God. By the scriptures I pray over my life and speak over my life. Now I got, it's not just my will, now I got God's will. It's not that what my ability to bring to the table, it's God's ability to the table, and now we got a winning combination.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
If we don't know how to pray, if we don't know how to speak life over our families, over our circumstances, then what's, if it's not life, what are you speaking? There's no middle ground. Amen. Either death or light. Light or darkness. It's either life or death, y'all. In fact, in the book of Deuteronomy, the Bible says, God says, I give unto you, I will give you blessing and cursing before you. Life or death. Choose life. Say, choose life.
Choose
that
life.
Both you and your seed shall live. That's always the desire of God.
Amen.
You and your children and grandchildren shall live.
Amen.
Not just survive. And many of us are enjoying the blessings of our families and our parents and grandparents' prayers. But now that we got a little older, we got to take responsibility for this.
Amen.
Where much is given, much is what? Required. And so God's speaking to Job. He says, tread down the wicked. He's telling him. He didn't say, stand it aside, Job. I'll welcome the devil for you. God don't talk that way. Then he says in verse 13, hide them in the dust together, bind their faces in hidden darkness. Say, bind them.
Bind them.
God tells us to bind the devil. That's why coming to a church like ours, you learn how to do that.
Amen.
That's why we spend time to teach, not just have a good song service and making about 25 minutes, you're on your way and don't learn nothing. Because life doesn't play fair.
Amen.
And life is about your success, and life is about what you know.
Amen.
Knowing the truth.
Amen.
Verse 14. Then, listen, I love this part. I love it, I love it, I love it, God. Thank you. He's so good.
Yeah.
Verse 14. He's talking to Job. Then I will confess to you that your own right hand can save you. Your hand can do it.
Amen.
That is the ability God put in man.
Amen.
It's called authority.
Yes.
And now you're a child of God, you have divine authority.
Amen.
And power to back it up.
Hallelujah.
But you have to do your part.
Right.
You need to stop the devil from running havoc in your family.
Amen.
You do it with insects and roaches and stuff like that. You know, you call your friend, you know, there's another mice in my house. You've been telling me this for the last 3 weeks. What are you going to do about it?
Well,
get him out. Say get him out. We can whine, and guess who's going to, and then you're going to be told by the termite man or the roach man or the mice man. All you had to do was call. Do something about it. I can't. This is your house. I can't come in your house and run your business. God's giving you a life and a way to live the life, and he expects us. But Job didn't know that. He didn't know. He didn't have the Bible. He didn't know. When we read, we can what? Know. Wrap up here. I'll close with this. Job didn't know. That's what he didn't know. Good guy. Walk in integrity. Avoided evil. Probably was a giver. He was rich. Probably he was always helping people in the community and stuff, giving things away and stuff. But then he saw bad stuff happen to him. Probably figured he must have had a woman on the side. He probably was cheating. No, he wasn't doing none of that. He just didn't know. He was saying stuff. He wanted his children to not curse God, but he walked in fear. The thing I greatly fear. See, the Bible always reveals truth. This is why you got to read the whole Bible. Too often you only hear ministers talk about the first part of the book of Job, his trouble. We're going to finish up next time. We'll talk about his victory we sung about. God gave him twice as much.
Yes.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Right.
Twice as much.
Hallelujah.
That's the kind of God we serve. You had a big setback, lost everything. Guess what? I can deliver you. I can bring it back and give you more. He had 10 more kids. He got 10 more kids. And guess what? Then the Bible says, I'll get to it. The Bible says, and his daughters were the finest women in the area, okay, in the land. They weren't no ugly woman. Come on. God put emphasis. They were the fairest women in the land. Nice to look at. And every time I look at his beautiful girls, he reminded how good God is. What the devil did and made it ugly. See, if you trust him, he'll make, The Bible says, this is scripture, he'll turn your ashes into beauty. Turn your ashes if you make God your friend, if you trust in him. If it's your enemy, he can't work for you because you're fighting him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You know, God's been speaking to you. And you're not yet in the family. God has a place, a special place for the people that serve him that are part of his family. God wants a family. It's called the children of God. And he has a plan for them. And a plan is outlined in the scriptures. And if you would just say, yes, I want to be part of God's family. And I want to learn about my God and get to know him. He'll take you on this wonderful life journey. A life of faith. Growing in God and learning to know him. And yes, as you deal with issues in life, they're real. Sometimes we miss it, but he's there to grab our hand and help us. He has a way of escape, the Bible says. That's how good God is. He's not a schizophrenic person. He knows what he has for you. He says, my thoughts towards you are good, not evil, to to give you your expected end. I believe there's some here, while every head bowed, every eye closed, giving every person the privacy.